This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What is a star like gun in the city, the driver's side flag? Wish I could large, so many more, 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever and cute as can be. You can watch this on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time, wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody! Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Hello, Leroy.
What's up?
How are you today, buddy?
I'm all right.
Froggy?
Alone.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Nah, all good, man. All good.
I'm sorry. I'll see you. Well, I don't know if I'll see you tomorrow because I don't know. I don't even know if we're broadcasting from somewhere different.
That is right.
Hey, Glenn!
When? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we supposed to be?
No, well, you know what? I would like to know. I don't know.
I'll find out today.
Has it been suggested?
It had been suggested. I texted you this. You don't listen to your texts.
Nah.
When did you text?
Either texted to you or I told you in studio yesterday.
Oh, so you didn't text me.
Ooh, facts are changing.
Right. As I said, I either texted. I did tell you about it. I don't remember if I told you in person or if I told. I'm pretty sure I told you in person.
No, the last conversation we had. Are you ready? It was about baseball because you were going to be on vacation.
That was the last conversation you had with Glenn, not baseball. With me. Baseball.
Thank you.
Let's get to headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory at the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. Panthers. They give up 3 unanswered goals, a rare collapse and ass kicking to the Bruins in the third period.
Oh, my God.
Did not enjoy that one bit yesterday.
No. Yikes. I don't know what happened.
It all unraveled for the Cats. And I don't know. Maybe we got a bad Brad Marchand mojo over our side now.
No.
Even though he didn't play yesterday. I mean, I don't know.
I would say this.
I didn't recognize that Bruins team.
I would say this. You can worry about a lot of teams. Whether they win the Stanley Cup or not, I'm not worried about the Panthers.
Yeah.
Not even at least a little bit.
The Miami Heat, they are going to be back in action tonight against the LA Clippers. We're going to talk to the great Tony Fiorentino in about 10 minutes about Miami Heat and the Junior Heat Camp coming up in spring. But the Heat and Clippers tonight, 8 o'clock start tonight. A little late tonight, Leroy. So you got that going. It is at home. It had something to do with a TV switch. I'm not really familiar, but I think it was maybe supposed to be a national TV game that it got taken away.
I wonder why it got taken away.
All right, don't lash out. But because the Clippers were on a back-to-back, they didn't want to make it too, I think, early. I think that was the reasoning for it. The Clippers lose last night to the New Orleans Pelicans. Zion Williamson, triple-double, 22 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. Kawhi had 29 for the Clippers. Probably not going to play today, though, because it's a back-to-back. So I'd imagine he's going to be out. Ben Simmons didn't travel.
And, is he the quietest superstar you've ever met? I mean, or ever heard?
Kawhi?
Why? Right.
Probably him or Tim Duncan.
He's getting max contracts. And, like, do you know when he plays, when he doesn't play? Like, yeah. It's just, right, it's a weird thing.
And then Norman Powell is dealing with a hamstring, so he is going to be out tonight as well for the Clippers. And so the Heat are actually favored by Vegas. 2.5-point favorite tonight.
What does that mean?
I'm just letting you know. I was like,
I'm going to play three quarters. I'll take the Heat.
I don't know. I'm just letting you know. Dolphins making some moves. They signed wide receiver Nick Westbrook-Ikhine to a 2-year deal, a little over $6 million. I like this move, Leroy. This guy, he had Titans Reddit in a spiral yesterday. They were very upset to lose him, which is always my go-to. I'm like, are they upset losing him? They seem upset losing him.
You can be upset losing him, but who's going to throw it to him?
Tua?
No, I'm talking about
in Tennessee.
Well, that's the thing, is he had a lot of touchdowns last year, even with bums throwing to him.
Right.
You know, so he had 9 touchdowns. That's more than Waddle and Tyree combined last year. Mm-hmm. Bigger, you know, so
we throw a fade to somebody over 6 foot.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. A little 6'2" action. I like it. The Dolphins have just signed Terrell Dodson to a 2-year deal, $8.25 million after they initially split.
You know, he went this offseason for the Dolphins feels like.
What's that?
I'm going to say a basketball term.
Mm.
Mid-level exception.
Yeah, a little bit. The Dolphins also got some compensatory picks yesterday. A 3rd, a 4th, and 2 7s for their free agents leaving. So that puts the Dolphins up to 11 picks. And finally, before we take a break, Tiger Woods ruptured his Achilles.
Yeah.
Training at home. That's a bummer.
Well, you know what? Let me say this. Mm. I think he did something to it before now.
No.
Because when he did his TFL, everybody was talking about how bad he was moving then. Right? So.
And plus, he's got from the accident, he's already been walking, right. Putting a lot of stress on that.
But last week, when they were showing him, people were commenting on how bad he was moving then. So I'm wondering if he did something to it then and didn't want to miss the event. And then
they said came he up messed with something. Up at home.
Yeah, because he did look bad.
We'll take a break here on the show. We're going to talk to the great Tony Fiorentino. Talk a little Miami Heat basketball with him as Junior Heat Camp is coming your way for the Spring Breakers out there. The coach, he's going to join us coming up next. 15 minutes. Ah, 15 minutes of heat here for you on 560 WQAM, which is brought to you by Hollywood Kia. At Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida. Get the star treatment. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia. Visit them online at HollywoodKia.com. And we are going to go out to the guest line and talk to the great Tony Fiorentino. We got a little Heat basketball coming up tonight, but spring break is right upon us. And so if you guys want to send your kids to Junior Heat Camp, they got a spring break camp happening March 24th through the 28th. It is available for boys and girls ages 7 to 17. Let's bring on the coach, Tony Fiorentino. He joins us here. Hey, coach, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
It's great to have you, coach. Are you getting all these kids to stop chucking up threes like Steph Curry? Are you getting them back to the fundamentals?
Well, do you think that watching games on TV has an influence on kids? A few years ago, there was a game going on in the camp. Maybe 10, 11-year-olds were playing, and there was a 2-on-1 break. And the kid comes down the floor, the point guard, and he does what he's supposed to do. He occupies the defender. He has a teammate cutting on the left wing. He throws a perfect bounce pass. Ball goes out of bounds. The kid stopped at the three-point line.
Oh, my God.
So that was a lecture I had to give him at the end of the day with the kids.
From your standpoint, with this whole program, what is the thing you find most rewarding with getting these kids out there? They get to see Glenn Rice and a lot of the Heat players come out. It really does seem every time I go and check you guys out, it always seems like it's just a fun event everybody's loving.
Well, that's great. They're wide-eyed. You know, the first criteria is to have fun. That's the first goal in camp. And we teach life skills along with basketball skills. You know, you've got to be able to listen to your parents, listen to your teachers, listen to your coach. It's all in the same vein. And we teach a lot of fundamentals. One of my favorite phrases is there's a misnomer in our vocabulary when we speak. A lot of people of authority. Practice doesn't make perfect. Practice makes permanent. Whatever you practice, if you practice dribbling with your head down and your body up, you're going to do that in a game. So we're trying to create good habits, both on and off the court. So I use that phrase a lot, practice makes permanent. And the kids get it. You know, I tell them on Monday, if you pay attention and you do what we ask you to do with the drills, you are going to improve by Friday. It's a given. You have to get better. And how much better you get is determined on how much you listen and apply what we're teaching you. And so by Friday, it's really interesting. We play 3-on-3 games every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning, 3-on-3 or 4-on-4. And it's amazing how much better the kids get by Friday. Because most kids, when they come to camp, they think basketball is only about shooting the ball. And I wish I had a dime for every time I said to the kids, pass the ball, pass the ball, pass the ball. You know, I had a kid was perplexed where he made a jump shot from the foul line. I said, good shot, but you had a teammate open for a layup. And so these are the kind of little instructions that we give them to try to get them to play more together as a group rather than as an individual.
Coach, you find out with kids, when they see NBA players and they see guys out there, they're looking at the finished product and not the work that those guys put in. And sometimes that tends to be the issue. Like, everybody wants to be Steph Curry. Nobody sees the work that Steph Curry puts into it. And if guys knew how much work they put into it, then they would have to decide if they're willing and determined to put that type of work in to get to that finished product.
No, it's a good point, Leroy, because I often tell them, look, you know, I was on the Heat coaching staff for 11 years, and I know what they do behind the scenes.
Right.
And right now, as we have camp at maybe 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning, so they're in the gym right now, and they're working. That's where you don't see that behind the scenes. Everybody sees the glory and all of the stuff on TV, but they work their butts off, especially the Heat. I said for years when I was on the air with Eric that we have arguably the best teaching staff in the NBA. Our guys get better in a short period of time than most other teams' players get better. And you see that in some of the development of like the Struces and guys like that that come into the league as G League players practically. And then they wind up with big contracts because they buy into the system that the Heat has. They work very hard. The Heat are very pragmatic with everything. They hit guys between the eyes with what they don't do well, what they need to work on. And they totally buy into it. And look what happens. Look at the track record. So we bring that up all the time with the kids about the work ethic that they have.
Junior Heat Camp is going to be going down March 24th to the 28th. It's going to be at Slam Miami High School. You guys can register now at heat.com and go check it out. The great Tony Fiorentino joining us here. Coach, so being on a staff, what is this time like right now for the staff? You guys are just, you're trying to figure things out. For whatever rhyme or reason, the Miami Heat just, they have so many good things happening in a game and it just falls out from them in the fourth quarter. What is this like of just searching for answers? And what do you think is just going on right now behind the scenes with this team?
I'm sure Leroy experienced this a little bit. When it seems like at times when you seem like you can't lose, you know, when we had LeBron and them and Wade and Bosh and guys, we won 27 games in a row. We were down 28 points in Cleveland, the worst team in the league, and won the game in the fourth quarter. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then you got the other side of it, where no matter what you do, you seem to be snake bit. You know, the other night, the Heat are down 2, and Bam's got an easy tap in at the basket, and it rolls around the rim and out, and they get a layup at the other end. It just seems like when things are not going well, the ball rolls the wrong way, shots that are usually made are missed, and little things that happen in your favor seem to go the other way. So you feel snake bit. You can't fall into the rut, though, of the psychological aspect of it, saying, okay, you get towards the end of the game and you have a lead and you start thinking, we can't hold on to it. I'm sure that none of that enters their mind, but psychologically, innately, some of that could get in there, and you kind of like force yourself, or you wind up not winning the game because maybe there's a little doubt there. Well, so I know that the Coach Spoelstra, to me, is the best coach in the NBA. He's got a great track record, being in the Hall of Fame one day. The approach that they always take is always, he's always positive. He's always got, they're working hard, and you just know they're going to break through, but just don't know where or when. And now the schedule's getting harder with, you know, a lot of good teams coming up in a row. So they have to find a way to get that, get through for that one win, get that confidence back, and then you roll from there, because they still got a shot, you know, of having a better seed going into the playoffs, going into the play-ins. And then, you know, you saw what happened 2 years ago. The Heat had to win that game against Chicago after being down with 4 minutes left to get to advance, and they got to the finals. So you never know.
Coach, like, this is just me, and I've played in games like this where sometimes you're playing the game, you're doing all your sets, you're running all your plays, but you're not aware because you're so focused on kind of, you know, running through your plays and being good at that you become unaware of where you are in the game. And it seems to me that sometimes, like, somebody needs to say, hey, guys, here's where we are. Let's get a bunny. Let's get free throws. Let's slow this thing down, because they come down and they're still chucking up threes and they haven't been shooting it well. And they just keep doing the same things when they go down the court. Have you ever, what do you tell a team that is, say, all of a sudden they hit a cold stretch shooting three and they've shot the ball well for two and a half, three quarters? What do you tell a team like, okay, let's get to the rim, let's get to the free throw line? Some players are aware of this. It seems like they're not aware of where they are in the game at times.
Well, it's a good point, because human nature being what it is, when your team is struggling, the better players try to do too much. And maybe there's a little bit of hero basketball, you know, shooting, and that happens. It's human nature. And, and especially if you're one of the leaders of the team, maybe you try to do a little too much, because you're trying to make up for the loss or trying to make up for what's not going on. All they can do, and I'm sure they do this all the time, they sit down, they look at tape, they show the players where this could have been different, that could have been different. The other night the Heat was up two, and they come down and shoot a quick three. I know what you're saying, Leroy.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not the time to do that. Get your offense set. But again, the human nature being what it is, you're trying to hit a home run. But usually when you try to hit a home run, you either hit a home run or you strike out. It's one or the other, and you want something in between.
Right.
And so it's a constant teaching element that they have. They sit down with the guys with the iPads. They sit down as a team. They look at film, and they see where they can improve. And they do this, and somewhere along the way it's going to click in where the team, certain guys may have it, but you need everybody on the same page. And eventually it breaks through, because we've been when we first started, we won 15, 18, and 24 games. We lost 17 in a row before we won our first game against the Clippers in Los Angeles that first year. Certain things start to click in after a while, and you hope that tonight is the night that it starts.
Coach, you always do such a great job with these guys. I see you go up to them before games about the improvements they're making and the work they're putting in. I'm curious what you're seeing with Jaime Jaquez this year. You know, he looked like a guy, he played at his own pace last year, just let the game kind of come to him. And then, you know, this sophomore year, I don't know if it feels like things are sped up or the league's adjusting, but it hasn't been as smooth, I guess, as the rookie year was. What do you make of Jaime's season so far?
I thought he started out pretty well when the season started. Then he got hurt. And it seems like he never was able to get back to that point where he had the rhythm of every game. And it seemed like he had games where he was very good, and he had games where he seemed to struggle a little bit. His game is a power game, going to the rim. He's very good now with those little shot fakes inside, setting.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Setting up opponents. He's a very good rebounder. He handles the ball well. I just think he never got really in that groove that he had, was in when the season started. And it's very difficult to get it back because then he was out a few games again. Then he was out of the rotation because other guys were playing better. And so, you know, maybe he lost a little bit of confidence along the way. All of those things happen, especially if guys are playing ahead of you or you're hurt and you're losing. That compounds the whole thing. So he's a very good player. I know that he thinks highly of him. I think he's going to rally somewhere. You know, he only got 18 games left, but they need him like everybody else. Whatever minutes they play, he's got to come in and just do his job. He plays hard. He never says a word to the officials. Sometimes he gets fouled. He doesn't say anything. that's how you want a guy to play. Even keel. Don't get up. Don't get down. And see if you can get back into that groove he was in when the season started.
Did you like the other night when we had the record broken with Ronnie Cicely in the building? What was that like for you?
Well, you know, obviously you go back to when Ronnie was here. I was on that staff, and Ronnie, after his first year in the NBA, he shot 51% from the foul line his first year, and it affected him offensively because he shied away from going to the basket. He didn't want to get fouled.
Right.
He didn't want to go to the foul line. So he worked that summer in between the first and second year. He came in. We went 5 days a week, myself, Dave Wohl, Coach Rothstein, head coach, Coach Rothstein, and worked with all the guys that summer. And he got the best footwork of any big man. He went to the Fifth Street gym with Angelo Dundee on the beach, the famous boxing trainer. And he worked with his footwork there, and it all clicked for him. His free throw shooting got better. I think he shot 59% his second year. So it got better that way, and he got more confidence in himself. The coach got more confidence in him. And so I think He is one of the best rebounders in the history of the Miami Heat. A lot of people aren't aware of that because it's so long ago. You know, he left right before Pat Riley came to the Heat. And so it was great to see Ronnie and get to hear him speak about how much he adores the fact that Bam is breaking his record, because it's somebody that he appreciates and respects. And you could tell that Ronnie respects the game. He respects his years in Miami, and he respects Bam. And so it really made it cool that Eric Reed made that happen by initiating this whole thing. And they got together on the practice court. They exchanged jerseys, and then they had him on for a quarter during the game. All of that was just a great night for Ronnie and for Bam.
When you watch Kalel, like, we're seeing, you know, some real eye-popping moments. I think this Hornets game, you know, you saw kind of the games where he kind of struggled with Williams a little bit. But, man, he's so impressive, Tony. Like, some of the things that he could do when he's on with the block shots and just the target that he is. What have you made of his rookie year so far?
He's got a big upside. He went through a stretch where he was really playing well, getting double-figure rebounds, blocking shots, scoring. He's had his ups and downs, as you would imagine a rookie would, okay? But he's learning so much, and you could see the growth in him. I thought earlier in the season, as a shot blocker, one of the things he had to learn, and he's learning it, he started to go after every shot. And then you start to realize that if you try to go after a block that you can't get, your man's going to get the rebound and put it in. He's learning those little nuances, right, about when to go for the block, when to stay home, things of that nature. It's all about positioning. The other night, he seemed to be a little step away from blocking shots. Maybe, you know, he'll position himself a little better by looking at the tapes with the coaches, things of that nature. Then offensively, he's just going to continue to grow. People don't remember that Bam, the first year or two, when Bam would catch the ball, his first or second, he wasn't even looking at the rim. He was catching the ball, and he's looking to distribute. He had first learned to be more assertive looking at the rim. I think that's what you're going to find out with Kalel. He's learning so much. He's going to be so much more educated as an NBA player when the season's over than when it began. And then he's going to work, you know, in the offseason with the coaches, and he's going to come back for a good sophomore year. And so I'm excited about the capacity that what he can get to as a player. He's got all the tools. He looks like he's another one. He keeps an even keel, doesn't say much, doesn't get too excited, doesn't get down, doesn't get too low when things don't go well. You love that kind of attitude. And from what everybody says, he really works his butt off in practice.
Is that a young big guy's issue? Like, I don't care who you are, deciding when to go block, when not to, going and defend the paint and then giving up an alley-oop, knowing when to go and when to stay. It seems like that is one of the issues he has all year. But is that just a big man in general when they first get into the league, is knowing when to go and when to stay, or, you know, when to leave your guy?
No doubt, Leroy. And the other thing that he's going to learn, because he's got one of the best guys in the organization that did this, is that when he blocks shots, you want to do it with a soft hand, keep the ball in bounds.
Right.
Hassan Whiteside was very good at that. And he even made a comment that earlier in his career, Hassan Whiteside, earlier in his life, he read some comments about what Alonzo Mourning was talking about with shot blocking. And the best ever was Bill Russell, you know, where he would block the shot and you give your team a chance to get to possession rather than hit it out of bounds and, you know, looks good to the crowd. I think he's going to also pick up on that. So he's going to have more discretion on what shots to go after, and he's going to be able to block the shots with a softer hand. The more he works on it, becomes a mentality. He's got Alonzo Mourning there. You know, he's got a great staff to teach him that. So these are all the little nuances that a guy will learn. Mm-hmm. And one of the best in the league, I think, at being able to discern whether to go for a guy off a pick and roll or to roll with your man is Bam. Bam is excellent at reading the situation. There are a lot of times throughout his career where Bam, the pick and roll will happen, and the guy will try to throw the ball to the guy rolling, and Bam will fake going at the guy and come back and steal the ball or knock it away. That becomes almost an innate thing after a while, where it just becomes second nature. That's something else he will pick up. And the more you learn about the big man. I mean, John Sally's one of the best ever in Heat history, I think, at knowing the tendencies of the guy he was guarding and the opponents. It's kind of like the rebound. You know, you learn where the rebound's going to come off based on the distance of who shot it and where it's going to go. These are little nuances of things that players pick up as they become more experienced in the league.
Those are always my favorite things with you, Tony, on the broadcast with Hassan. Whenever you talked about the soft hands and bounds. So, like, as the season was going on, Leroy, I would just shout at my television, soft hands! Just because Tony would teach us about the soft hands and Hassan Whiteside keeping it in bounds.
Yes.
Hey, Tony, I want to ask you, with all these young guys and how the Heat treat young guys and kind of they'll play for a while and then not play, a lot of these things that we're talking about with, like, Kalel and other young guys, like, don't you have to get, like, live reps to kind of go through that? I mean, it's not something you can really learn practicing a lot, right?
No. Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, as a coach, it's a give and take a little bit. You know, you're in the game, you're in the professional ranks to win, but you're also there to help develop players, and you try to do both.
Right.
Heat have been very good at doing that. You know, they've been very good at developing players while they were winning. Okay. And so it's a tricky game that the coach has to play along with his staff on developing players and winning the game. And so you try to reach a happy medium with that. It also happens with guys in the G League. You know, do you want a guy to go down and play and start in a G League game for two or three games? Because you know he's not going to play on a big time level, as opposed to practicing with a good team every day, you know, with the professionals every day, and then getting some playing time. So it's a good point, Leroy.
Tony Fiorentino, go check out Junior Heat Camp. It is going on during spring break, March 24th to the 28th. You guys can sign up now. It's going on at Slam Miami High School, ages 7 to 17 for the boys and girls out there. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and good luck with the upcoming camp.
Thanks guys. We have a lot of fun in camp, and we always look forward to spending the 9 to 3:30, 5 days a week with the kids. It's great to see their enthusiasm, and it's great to see how much better they get. And every day, I say to them, who made your bed this morning? Okay, maybe on Monday morning with 100 kids, maybe 20 kids are raising their hand. By the end of the week, if they're telling the truth, you know, we're trying to get them to create good habits off the court as well as on. So it works. We have a lot of fun. Thank you for helping us promote the camp, guys.
Absolutely, Coach. Absolutely. Have a great one, and enjoy the game tonight.
You too.
Thanks, Coach. All right.
We'll take a break. We'll get into a little bit of the Cats last night. Road to repeat, as they had a tough one last night. We'll hear from Bob.
Yeah.
And his thoughts on three unanswered goals for the Bruins. Back after this. They give up three unanswered goals. And you got Pasta started off for the Bruins. They get two more. Go five hole on Bob. And Sam Reinhart, we thought that he had the tying goal, but they waved it off, said it came after a whistle from the officials. You got Sergei Bobrovsky after the game here, Frog Boy. Let's hear from my boy Bob on him. He's saying that they lost their composure a little bit in the third period.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a good hockey game. Two good competitive team play against each other. So we lost our composure a little bit in the third, and that cost us 2 points.
There you go. Obviously a disappointing end, even though they've been on an impressive streak. And he says that, listen, you're not going to win them all.
Yeah, it was solid. As you said, defensively, we played great. It was a penalty kill was great. So it's all ingredients, all pieces are there. We just, it happened. You know, it's a hockey. You not win all of the games, but we move on. Next game is a big game against a good opponent, and it's a good challenge for us.
Next game is going to be tomorrow, Leroy, against the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are just a couple points back in the division of the Cats. So that is tomorrow night, and that is a 7 o'clock puck drop for your Panthers.
They're in a place where every team they play is going to give them 60 minutes. And if anything goes awry, you have a chance of losing because everybody's chasing you. But I would say, even more so, what makes it even crazier is that any letdown, like The last couple of games, they have had so they've been defending so many power plays. I'm like, holy smokes. Like, at some point, like, what was the last game? What, six or seven of them? I'm like, at some point, that's going to catch up to you. Oh, my God. This dude.
All right, calm down, dude. You know, listen, we gave you some reprieve with all your fat shaming over the last couple of days, even though you gave it a
point. No, this is...
He's deflecting, Leroy. Dude,
yes, you're the only person that in this business will turn off your mic and talk and not realize nobody can hear you.
Okay.
You do it once a day.
Well, not once a day, only when I'm home. So don't lie.
Look, for both of you guys, for a guy who can't unmute or mute his site, now you're going after a guy who mutes his mic. You rascals.
Well, no. That has nothing to do with me. That is a previous setting, somebody else who turns the mic up on the computer. Mm. So when it happens, I'm not aware of where or of it being on. And when I find out, I know how to turn it off now. But it's not me. I'm not the one muting or turning on the computer.
You guys are a bunch of deflectors.
I'm not deflecting.
You're saving a mute. Yeah. Could have used that last night.
Really good.
Could have used it last night, dude. Mm. Meanwhile, we are in the midst of a Dolphins free agency as the Miami Dolphins yesterday making some signings. Nothing too splashy right now out there in Dolphins land, but you know, I think they're doing they're solidly picking off need by need, you know, and NWI, who they signed yesterday, you know, he doesn't have a torn Achilles, so that's already a little bit of a different swerve.
I need not for nothing. I do realize they got a lot of, you know, holes to fill. And the position they need the most is the scarcest. And that's Biggins. That being said, do you think that they should? I mean, I don't know. Here's the problem. Sometimes what you need and what's available put you in a bad spot, right? So I don't know if where they are drafting, there's going to be quality offensive linemen available because everybody's having the same problem. Everybody's trying to protect their quarterback. Everybody's bringing in, hell, the Chicago Bears signed what? Five offensive linemen?
Yep.
So everybody is looking for the same thing, to protect their quarterback. When you're in a situation like that, I appreciate that instead of going out and spending big money for it, they fill these other needs, and then they'll address it when they can. But as a fan and as a person who follows the team and talks about the team, something got to happen up front pretty soon here. Because you can't have the excuse of they're all rookies. Nobody's going to, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, no one's going to deal with that. But I mean, I think that you're going to go into this draft and you're probably, I mean, maybe they find one more guard for sure. But I mean, it's also a possibility they take one. And that guy, if you're going to take somebody at 13 for a guard, I mean, that guy's going to expect it to start day one.
Correct. Absolutely. But what if you get to that pick
and the guy you want's not there,
or the guy you want's not there, or who's available you don't want? You trade down, right?
If it's possible. I mean, you know, I think they were kind of in a similar position last year, and I don't think a lot of us thought that they were going to take a pass rusher with Chop Robinson, but they ended up doing that, and it worked out for him. I mean, they took a pretty explosive player, and there were questions about him because of his production, but it worked out. You got to give him credit for that.
Yeah. He won't be here in 3 years because they'll let him walk, but
of course,
that's a whole nother story.
He was good. See you later, Chop.
Did you... Under no circumstance were you giving Joey Bosa that much money, right?
Yeah, Joey Bosa ends up going to the Bills for $12.6 million. That's a lot of dough.
That's a lot of money for a guy who played 23 games in three or four years?
A lot of games and not a ton of sacks. I mean, Agba had the same amount of sacks as he did last year.
You know what? I should say this about Agba. As much as we talked about he lost his job or whatever, he must be pretty damn good, because no matter who's coming on the defensive end, the defensive side of the ball, they all have kept him, right? He's one of the guys that they've made a conscious effort to keep. So, yeah, he must be a baller, because, and he's played a whole bunch of different positions on the defensive line. I don't know if that helps him or hurts him, but, yeah, he's been one of those guys that whoever comes in and is the coach has liked what he does.
We'll take a break here on the show. We come back. Our Tua is next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.